Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, well, good day, everyone, and welcome along to All Talk with Jason Mike. Very nice to have your company wherever you may be in the country or indeed the world. And Mike Minogue, how are you going, mate?
Going really good today, thanks, mate.
Yeah, excellent. Can I just make an observation off the bat, if I might?
Oh, I was hoping for this.
I noticed that today you've walked into the studio and you're wearing only shorts.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Now, look, I've got to be honest with you, and I think it's always good to be upfront about these sort of things. I have a bit of an issue with that just in regards to, for me, someone turning up to work in shorts sort of represents a kind of lackadaisical approach to work. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think you look fantastic, but and I can see you're wearing jandals as well. I know you live on Waiheke Island, for me it reeks a little of, I really couldn't give two shits. I'm just going to turn up and start talking crap.
Ah. Well, I'm disappointed that you feel that way. Obviously, on the surface, it sounds like you want me to be more professional, and I can understand that.
Well, just a sensible pair of slacks is all I'm thinking. You know, some nice shoes and a sort of dress business type shirt would really work for me.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but to me, there's something operating under the surface here from you, and I get the feeling that you've laid eyes on my quite muscular legs, and there's a certain amount of jealousy coming out of you as a result of, you know, you're operating with your bandy little sticks over there.
Yeah, well, I will be upfront about that. I do have bandy little sticks for legs, and, you know, I very rarely, very rarely wear shorts, Mike, for good reason. Yeah. Can I also just make another observation? You do have very impressive legs. Smooth as a baby's bottom too. Do you wax, do you?
No.
Okay. What's happened there then?
Well, I've actually got no hair on my body.
Right, okay.
From sort of my nipples down, and just under the nipples. Both my nipples have about 8 or 9 hairs each.
Mm-hmm.
But from there down, barring my blondies, completely smooth.
Well, let's not get me started on blonde pubes again, because you know my feeling on that. Yeah, I, very much like you, Mike, what I have in terms of bodily hair is I have great tufts of hair around my nipples and nowhere else.
Yeah.
I've got a little bit of hair on my legs, but because I like wearing skinny jeans,
yes,
I have tufts of hair that have been sort of smeared away from the contact of the denim on the flesh. And so I have tufts of hair on my legs, which really doesn't improve the overall impression that I'm trying to create.
Well, and you've also got, because I saw you, you were bending over to grab another packet out of the carton of cigarettes that you grab that you carry around in your backpack, and your shirt just crept up, and I thought you had one of those tramp stamps. You remember the tramp stamps from the 90s?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It's just a massive tuft of hair at the base of your back there, just above the belt line.
Yeah, I can't explain that. I don't know where that it happened at puberty.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, you know, when I say I'm not particularly hairy, I also, you wouldn't have seen this yet, have a massive, like, tuft or bush of hair between my shoulder blades.
Right.
I don't know where that comes from. It grosses my wife out, to be honest. She's always trying to get me to wax it, but
it gives her something to hold on to.
Well, I guess so.
As opposed to digging her nails into your back.
Yeah.
She can just grab onto the tufts of hair. And
it's like a mane of a horse, isn't it, if you're riding bareback?
Is that how it feels to the touch, or is it more of that sort of that wiry pubic hair?
It's kind of wiry and pubic, I think, interestingly enough.
Right, I've got a friend.
It's like displaced hair, if I can put it that way.
Right, I've got a, you bring up mane-like hair. A friend of mine and my wife's has, she started washing her hair with the same kind of shampoo that is used for horses.
Okay.
I'm not lying there. And she gets it from sort of an Asian food store, I think. I don't know why they sell it there. But, it's had a remarkable effect. Really shiny coat.
Lustrous.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible. So perhaps we can get some of that for your back here and your hairy tramp stamp.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting thought. And just on that, I've got a mate that actually likes to take horse tranquilizers. I think he gets them from an Asian food store too. So
right.
They're obviously pretty diverse in what they offer.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. Hey, listen, mate, as always, we love the feedback that we get from all the punters out there. And boy, it's just been pouring in. And I believe you're going to start us off with a bit of feedback for this particular podcast.
Yeah. Got one here. Really love the show, guys. Keep up the great chat. And that's from BJ Sticks on the Instagram.
Yeah, great stuff. Thanks, BJ Sticks.
BJ Sticks. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay. Is that all we've got, is it?
Well, that's all of them. I mean, there's other feedback, but that's the only positive one.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean, if we went with the negative ones, we'd be here all day, but that was the positive one, so I thought I'd read that one out.
Yeah, really love the show, guys. Keep up the great chat. BJ Sticks on the Instagram there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that gives us hope. I mean, if I don't know how you feel about this. I mean, if 1 in 20 bits of feedback are positive, I think we're on the right track.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it depends on who you're getting the feedback from. I went and clicked over onto BJ Sticks' profile.
Yes.
And he's got about 43 followers.
Oh, great.
So, you know, he's obviously somebody with his fingers on the pulse. I tried to follow him back.
Yeah.
And just waiting for an answer.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, great stuff, mate. Just make sure that you do give us feedback and that you give us those rating, all important ratings, Mike, because that's how it's all sort of tabulated, really, isn't it?
God, great word, tabulated. But
Thanks, you're
absolutely right. I mean, what's key to us here and the goal with this podcast, outside of just giving fantastic advice specifically to the people that write in and those that are listening that have got similar issues, is we're trying to make, you know, a good living off this.
Yeah.
And the only way that's going to happen is if we get up to the top of the charts. And the only way we get to the top of the charts is if you give us a 5-star review, and if you write a review, and if you subscribe. It's the only way it's going to happen. And it costs you nothing, and potentially is going to make us a lot of cash, Jay. So you guys could just do that now, we're just going to give you a minute just to do that now. You just get your phone.
Just get on your phone, or if you're on your computer. Yeah.
And it says write a review, and you can just say, yep, man. Doesn't have to be long. You can actually just mash the buttons, and it can just be complete double dutch.
Yeah, we
and,
don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to us. And it's not like the ghost of Steve Jobs goes in there and reads each review. But every little bit helps. So currently we've got 9 reviews.
Yeah, great.
And by our next episode, I'd like to have 180.
Yeah, that would be fantastic because, you know, I mean, essentially, we're doing this podcast, let's be honest about it, because we want to help people. You know, it's actually not about the money.
No.
But at the end of the day, you know, you and I, we don't want to be running at a massive loss as we are at the moment.
No.
You know, we've got to feed our families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we don't want to be in a scenario where by helping other people, we're actually destroying our own lives.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's no purpose in
that. Well, why should we be out of pocket
exactly.
for helping people that
I
can't?
I mean, we're the ones making the effort at the moment,
that's
Mike.
Right.
I mean, at least people can do is go and review it.
That's right. If you guys can't sort your own lives out and you need to hit us up for advice.
Yes.
I mean, the least you can do is do something that costs you a couple of seconds while you're actually listening to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Good point. Now, listen, speaking of relationships, should we have a get into a bit of relationship issues.
Sounds good.
I think she's cheating on me.
It's relationship advice with Jace and Mike.
Well, we've got a letter here which is just absolute cracker, Mike, and it reads thus. Hi, guys. I recently caught my daughter smoking cigarettes and wonder what I can do to make her stop. Given she is 13 years old and very headstrong, I'm wary of telling her what to do, only for her to do the opposite. Am I better off ignoring it and hoping she tires of the idea, or is this an area I need to be strict? Any help would be fantastic. And that's from Kathleen from Suva via email. Great stuff, Kathleen.
Of course, that's Suva in Fiji.
Yes, indeed. Are there other Suvas in the world? Are there? I imagine there probably is.
I'm not very good with my geography, so I always like to mention the country as well.
Yeah.
But we're ticking off another Pacific Island nation there, which is great. This is something you've been through, Jace.
Yeah.
How did you begin your cigarette smoking career? Probably been your it's had the best longevity for you career-wise.
Yes.
You would have been smoking longer than you've done anything else.
Yeah, it's been the most consistent thing in my life. I think that's fair to say. I actually started smoking durries at school.
In class?
I went to a boarding school and we were surrounded by mountains. It's in a place called Auckland. Yeah, well, where the school was, which is subsequently surrounded by lots of mountains, and so we used to often go up on the mountains and have a durry, or behind the cricket nets or in the boot room. I was smoking durries from about the age, I would say, of about 13. So that's where it all began for me. But you see, I was very clever about it because my father is a smoker, and so I used to forever give him jip about being a smoker. I used to just give him shit all the time. And all I can tell you about that, the reason I did that, Mike, was a complete ruse. Because what I was doing was stealing his cigarettes while he was smoking.
Out of his mouth.
Just literally out of his packet. And he'd never suspect me because I was so anti-smoking, you see.
Yeah.
Or he perceived me to be anti-smoking that he would never think, God, why have I only got 3 cigarettes left, without ever connecting me to the theft?
Perhaps your first and greatest acting role.
It was, yes.
Acting like a non-smoker.
Exactly. Indignant.
Yeah.
Outraged.
Yes.
All of that stuff. But the day inevitably came when my father actually literally busted me smoking cigarettes behind the garden shed.
Right.
And I remember what he said to me to this day. He came around the corner. I was caught literally red-handed with a durry going up to the mouth. And he said to me, "You little fucking shit." And that was it.
Yeah.
And he didn't say anything else about it. But from there on in, I was unable to steal cigarettes from him.
It's interesting, isn't it? You know, did he turn and walk away shaking his head in disappointment, or was there more of a conversation, do you remember? I mean, this is obviously a very long time ago.
Oh, it was a very, very long time ago. No, but I suspect detect a slight smirk on his face, because I think saying he was proud would be going too far, but there was a certain admiration, if I can phrase it that way, of the fact that, you know, I'd kind of duped him and he realised it over all those years,
right?
And but he'd caught me red-handed, so it was just that.
How long had it been going on?
Oh, about 4 years by then, and so then he just walked away with his dignity intact.
And he would have been happy as well that now you were on the hook and likely to die of, you know,
some respiratory
disease. Well,
and this is the thing, because then he could steal my cigarettes,
you see.
But this is my advice because, you know, I've got 4 daughters, as you know, Mike, and only one of them smokes.
Right.
But here's the interesting thing. She doesn't know that I know she smokes, okay? She doesn't know that. And I've deliberately done that, and I'll tell you why. Because when she goes off to work, she leaves her smokes in her room. I go into her room and I steal smokes from my daughter, you know, and she'll come back from work and she will notice, because they're not cheap, are they? They're not cheap.
36 bucks.
She will know that she is down on cigarettes, but she can't do anything about it, can she? She can't come out and accuse me and say, "Who's been stealing my cigarettes?" Because then she has to admit the fact that she's smoking, which I think is very clever. And you know what it's like as a smoker. I'm often caught short at midnight or something like that. Just go into my daughter's room, steal a couple of durries, sweet ass.
Ah, that's actually genius. Mm. I feel like your father now. I've got a newfound respect for you.
Yeah, thanks,
mate. I really like that. When I started smoking, I think the first time was probably I was about 12. And same thing, I'd steal them off. Mum was a smoker. There must be some kind of a connection. You know, you see the smoker in your house. You're more likely to start than if you were in a completely non-smoking environment, aren't you? And everybody back then smoked. Indeed, they smoked in the house and the car and the bedroom and
proudly,
you know, the shower and everywhere else. It was one of those things you just thought that you'd give it a go. And what I used to do was, Mum would smoke early days, she was your Winnie Reds.
Oh, okay, yeah,
and,
nice.
You know, you start on the Reds when you're younger, and as you get older, rather than, you know, you start coughing up more phlegm and as sort of chunks of your lungs start making their way to the surface. But rather than recognising this fact and giving up, you just go on to a mold, a cigarette.
Yeah.
So by the time I started...
Well, if you're soft, you do that. You see, I my inclination is to go even harder.
Right, smoke two at a time.
You know, my attitude being my body will learn.
Yeah, well, you've got to try and teach it a lesson, don't you? And I do, as we've mentioned before, you smoke one after the other. You light one off the previous one.
Yes.
But what I'd do with when I started smoking mum's cigarettes was I'd open it up and I'd reach into the back of the packet.
Okay, yeah, nice.
And you could pull a two or a three out there while it would have no effect out on the front, because it's very difficult to steal a cigarette from a packet when it's a brand new packet, when she's only had one.
Yeah.
Now, you know, normally you would just not dare steal one. But, you know, you're addicted already at that age, aren't you, to the excitement, if not the nicotine itself. So we'd do that. And then I remember occasions on smoking them out on the St. Joseph's school grounds, where I was a primary school student, on the weekend.
Oh, primary school. Okay, so you started really early.
Well, yeah, I did. But then I didn't have any for a couple of years after that. It sort of, I wasn't that interested. But when it really kicked in was when I started drinking. You know, once I started drinking, then... Just excuse Josie while he has a smoker's cough.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. I just got to clear the phlegm from my lungs.
And then when I started drinking, of course, it would be I would buy, you know, two bottles of Marque Vu wine.
Yeah, off Marque
Vu. And a packet of 10 Pall Malls. Now, your 10 Pall Malls would cost you $2.80. I guess back in your day, it was probably, what, sixpence?
Yeah, threepenny. Threepenny, I think it was. But, oh, God, I remember those little 10 packs. Yeah. They were handy, weren't they?
Well, they were good. I mean, I think they got banned because people were concerned that, you know, it would encourage young people to smoke. And I guess there was truth in that in my case. But, you know, the trouble is now I don't want to smoke a packet of cigarettes, but I'm sort of forced to buy 20, whereas, you know, probably three would do me when I come in and see you on a Friday. But now I've got 20 that I have to work my way through before the end of today.
Well, you know, we used to have our dairy owner in Rotorua. His name was Babu. And he used to sell them individually.
He used to
have literally a container of cigarettes, and you could just pluck out however many you want. I can't remember specifically what he charged per cigarette. I think it was a penny.
Yeah.
A penny per cigarette. But yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it?
Well, it's a tough one as well. And now, of course, you see, you know, I sort of think of myself at that age, and when you are 12, 13, 14 and smoking, you think you're now an adult.
Yes.
You know, and you sort of try and do things, you know, if mum and dad are doing this, well, I'll be even more of an adult. If mum's smoking, you know, a pack a day, then I'll be even more of an adult and smoke two packs a day. And if mum's having a couple of glasses of wine, then I'll be more of an adult and have two bottles of wine in one sitting.
Two bottles of Marque Vu.
And when you see these days a 13-year-old smoking a cigarette, it is like watching a child... smoking a cigarette, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's not right. Yeah. There's something wrong about that.
It's a terrible thing.
And even if, you know, I think, what is the age? The legal age is probably 16, is it?
Yeah.
Well, even that's not 16. Even that's not right. That looks wrong to me.
Yeah.
So in the case that you've got here, where your daughter's, what is she, 13, and she started smoking, Kathleen, and you're a smoker yourself, so... I mean, it's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's that whole hypocrisy element, isn't there? And, you know, like, for example, I remember when I first busted one of my girls smoking ganja.
Mm.
And, you know, I remember storming into her room and tearing the tinny out of her hand and saying, "Where did you get this from? How much was it? Can you get any more?" You know what I mean? I was more pissed off at the fact that she had access to it. And if I wanted to go and buy a tinny, I had no idea where to buy one.
No.
But I've subsequently learned, thanks to you actually, that I've got to look for the shoes on the
power lines.
Yeah.
That's right.
I never knew that.
But it depends on the colour shoes, because when you go and knock on the doors, you could end up with some marijuana.
Yes.
Or your teeth kicked in.
Yeah, that... You got to play that right. But, you know, I mean, personally, from my perspective, Kathleen, is I think she should take my approach.
Mm.
I think she should not confront her daughter about the fact that she's smoking and just very subtly steal them over time.
Yeah, well,
and where's she getting the money from?
You've read my mind.
Yeah.
You've read my mind.
How can she afford to buy cigarettes is
the
other question.
Well, that's what I want to know. So what's she doing that's allowing her to have – I mean, it strikes me, Kathleen, that we may have stumbled onto – not only is she a smoker, she's a dirty little thief.
Yeah.
I think she's stealing them off you, Kathleen.
I think that's the bigger issue.
So, you know, perhaps the way here that we can stop her smoking, and you're not going to like this, Kathleen, how about you stop smoking?
Mm.
And then you're cutting off the source. How does that sound to you, Kathleen? Probably not great.
Mm.
So I think either you stop smoking so that she can't smoke, or you just put up with it.
You're damming up the river of deceit, aren't you, by doing that?
Yeah.
Because if she doesn't have access and is unable to be a dirty, filthy thief and steal your money and buy cigarettes,
yeah,
you know, that's and because you're not doing it.
Mm.
But the other side of that, the danger of that, if I can put it this way, Mike, is that if Kathleen suddenly gives up cigarettes, she's suddenly going to have a surplus of money, isn't she?
Yeah.
Which may lead to her daughter actually being in a better position to steal money so that she can continue her cigarette smoking.
That's right. Well, there is, you know, actually my grandfather, you know, he had a crack. He wasn't happy that I was a smoker.
Right, okay.
And
sorry, when you said he had a crack, I was envisaging something different there, but you mean he had a go at you?
Well, yeah, he found out, you know, that I was a smoker. He, you know, we're at sort of a family do. In the Hawke's Bay there, and, you know, he caught me smoking, not unlike when you were, and it was sort of out the back in the orchard there, and he grabbed me by the arm, you know, and, he's an orchardist, and before that a farmer, very strong, and just sort of dragged me into the house. Well, he smoked cigars.
Right, okay.
You know, as fat as your, sort of Arnold Schwarzenegger-style ones. And I don't know if you ever had this happen, but it was very much a... The way to stop people smoking was to, kids smoking, was to sit them down at the kitchen table, open up a packet.
And force them to go through the whole lot.
Well, he had a different approach, you see. He got the cigar, sat me down, lit up the end of it, got it going really good,
mm-hmm.
and then jammed the other end of it up my ass.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's going to have an impact for a young fella, isn't it?
And I've never had a cigar since.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could try that technique, Kathleen.
Yeah, that could work. That could, well, it would certainly get your attention, which makes me recall my grandfather, Brum, of course, the infamous Brum.
Yeah.
He was a smoker. He smoked the old black and whites.
They might have been gone by the time I came around.
Oh, right. No, they were called black and whites. And my grandfather, Brum, smoked from the age of 9, the true story, right up to when he was like 92. And the doctor said to him when he was 91 or something like that, or 92 actually, they said, Brum, you've got to give up the cigarettes. And you know what? After all that time smoking, he gave it up without any assistance, no worries at all, stayed the same, calm as you like, no worries.
Yeah.
Extraordinary, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Extraordinary.
And then he passed away?
When he was 92.
So he got told to give up the smoking
mm.
and then was passed away shortly after.
Yeah. But no fuss. There was no fuss there, Mike. So, Kathleen, I hope that we've addressed that issue for you. I think we've covered it off, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a tough one. You know, what you're having to see, Kathleen, is your daughter, your child, who you have reared from a newborn, I suspect, and she is becoming an adult. And one of the signs of being an adult is smoking. I mean, any child that wants to be cool is going to have to smoke cigarettes. I mean, that's just a fact of life.
Mm.
If you want them to be in the right peer groups, if you want them to get out to good parties, get pissed up, you know, have lots of teenage sex, then, you know, smoking is just going to be part and parcel of that. It's all about image. There's a lot of talk these days that, you know, your vapes are cool.
Yeah.
But they're not.
No, they're not cool.
They're not cool. And that's the advertising dollar there, trying to make people think that is cool. Smoking is cool.
Yeah, they often say smoking isn't sexy. Well, I mean, could there be anything more sexy? You know, if you're a big fan of the post-coital smoke.
Ah.
You know, and you're lying there and you've made passionate love and just getting a big durry out and smoking up a storm. I think that's very sexy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, this actually brings me to another story, which was when I was flatting in Wellington, and my flatmate, she'd just got herself a new boyfriend, and he was a real piece of...
She went out and bought one, did she?
Well, I don't know where she found him.
Right.
But he was a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I used to come home, and, you know, after a hard day's yakka, and... on occasion, I'd find him asleep on the couch with the TV on, the remote in his hand, a beer at his side. You know, the ashtray he used to smoke rollies. He was an older guy, very small little man, and snoring up a storm and just reeking of cigarettes. But he always had a rollie in his hand. So
right,
he was,
yeah.
You know, I didn't really like him. And I remember waking up one morning, and it was... Even at the time, it was the most beautiful way I'd ever woken up in my life. You know, I woke up, I came out of my slumber, but my eyes remained closed. And the way that I was brought out of my slumber was a tui outside the window, a tui song. There was two of them.
Yes.
And my eyes were still closed and I was conscious, and it just brought me up out of my sleep. And I thought, wow, that is actually the most beautiful way I've ever woken up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to sleep. And the next time I woke up, which was probably half an hour later, was to a massive orgasm through the wall of my flatmate,
yeah,
who was going at it with her partner.
So hammer and tongs.
Yeah, and I had this mental image, and she finally got there. And then that was punctuated after about 5 seconds with probably 7-minute hacking cough as he brought up the previous day's 63 cigarettes.
Right.
And I don't know what he did with that phlegm. And I thought, wow, that's amazing, isn't it? I've had the most beautiful wake up I've ever had, immediately followed by the worst wake up I've ever had.
Well, obviously, you know, the fact that he'd just had vigorous lovemaking just shook up all the toxins and all the poisons in his body, and which needed, I mean, he obviously was able to waylay the coughing fit till after she achieved orgasm. So that's a plus in his book, I suppose. But then, you know, once that had ceased, he proceeded to, you know, cough his lungs up, as it were.
Yeah, it was pretty sexy. In my mind, it was, he wasn't doing any of the work in that.
Completely unrelated in many ways. I used to have a flatmate like that who was a vigorous lovemaker who just used to and was literally next door to my room.
Yeah.
And I often remember lying, you know, awake at night and just listening to my flatmate's lovemaking. And, you know, and there'd be the pervy people out there, Mike. They'll go, oh, did that get you off, sort of thing? Well, it might have. But, you know, the thing is, I found that actually, I reached a point with that where I couldn't get to sleep unless I heard people making love.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Because it had become such a part of my routine.
Right.
That if I didn't hear people making vigorous love, I couldn't actually get to sleep.
And did he actually have a boyfriend, or was he...
No, he
single.
Did. He was single. Right. Yeah, yeah. So, but God, it's amazing what we, you know, get used to, what habits develop in our lives, isn't
yeah.
it? Without us even consciously being aware of it happening.
That's right. No, you're absolutely right there.
Mm.
Yeah, she broke up my flatmate. She broke up with him not long after that, which is a real shame. It's a real shame.
Mm.
I think about him a bit.
Hey, listen, we've got another a question here. And once again, it's, I guess, to do with relationships. Should we get into that, Mike?
Let's have a go. G'day, mate. Loving the podcast so far. What's your favourite soft-on rock song to play to get your partner in the mood for some vigorous lovemaking? I've had success with the Bee Gees' How Deep Is Your Love, but think it's time to mix it up. And that's from Campbell, who lives in Wanaka, and that was over the Instagram.
Interesting stuff. Good question there. Well, first and foremost, Mike, are you a fan of music when you're making love?
I need complete silence.
Yeah.
Complete silence. And pitch black.
Yes. Yeah, no, I can actually believe that about you because you're one of those guys that when you're concentrating, you've got that very intense look on your face. And I can imagine that having some sort of, you know, musical soundtrack would really put you off your stride, as it were.
Well, that's right. I'm trying to maintain a beat. I'm trying to maintain my own rhythm. And if I'm having to worry about, for example, Campbell here's brought up How Deep Is Your Love, the beat of the Bee Gees, you know, that's no good for me. That gets confusing for me. And now I'm arrhythmic. Now I'm all over the show, and I don't quite know what I'm
doing. You're doing freestyle jazz,
that's
really,
right,
aren't you?
Exactly. And that's no way to make love. And so that's for me. I need the silence, and then I can just sort of imagine a beat. I have one of those.
The TikToks.
Yeah, what are they called? The
metronome.
Metronome. That's right.
That's really good.
I have it just beside the bed, and then when we're ready to go.
You just get it.
Tick-tock. And then off it goes. Now, it's a complete darkness because that's my wife that's insisted on that.
Yes.
Because I am concentrating so hard that it puts her off, I think.
Yeah, well, there's nothing as unsexy as a really sort of tensed up, concentrating face when you're in the act of lovemaking.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be a blissful and euphoric kind of face that, you know, and to see your partner above you with a scrunch, you know, the squinty eyes, it would be off-putting. I could see how she would find that off-putting.
Well, that's right. And I'm always sort of, you know, in the act of lovemaking, I'm always sort of looking up and to the left.
Right, okay.
You know, so like when you're trying to work out the square root of, you know, 64,894, so you're sort of looking up there.
So it's a kind of quizzical look as well.
Yeah,
then.
Well, it's sort of, I'm very, you know, I need to just work out, am I on the beat? You know, so I'm looking, that's where I'm looking, and I can't help that, but that, yeah, it is distracting, I think. She would prefer perhaps that I was more in the moment, but also wants me to be able to concentrate to my fullest, because the better I concentrate, you know, the sooner we can get on with our day.
Yeah. Well, you get it done, as it were.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's an interesting, and I can understand where you're coming from with that. I'm quite different in that regard. In terms of me, I like, for example, Rage Against the Machine when I'm making love, because that just fires me up, you know what I mean? And for me, lovemaking's all about passion.
Yeah.
It's all about vigor and energy. Mm-hmm. And I just let myself go to Rage Against the Machine. And,
right.
And that tends to, but, you know, on the other side of that, Mike, sometimes I like to play it. It depends what kind of lovemaking you're talking about.
Yeah, there's kinds, aren't there?
Yeah, there's apparently so.
Mm.
And, you know, so, but sometimes I go for more of a Debussy feel.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean? A bit of Claire de Lune, for example.
Oh, I've never heard of either of those things you said.
Well, okay, well, you've never heard of Debussy?
No. Can you sing us a couple of bars?
No. Debussy, Claire de Lune. Now, and that's for the more... Rage Against the Machine is like... How would you describe it? Kind of like...
Angry face? You get your angry face on?
Well, no, it's like extreme skiing down a slope. You know what I mean? You're just hanging on for dear life and hoping you don't die.
Yeah.
But the Debussy is the gradual build-up to the crescendo.
Quite short songs, are they?
Yeah, I think Claire de Lune's about 2 minutes 30.
Right.
And the particular Rage Against Machine song that I can't remember what it's called.
Well, there's Bomb Track, Killing in the Name Of.
Oh, Killing in the Name Of, that's the one. I think that's about 3:37. And it's great too, because for the kids, when they know when Killing in the Name Of is pumping out of the bedroom, they know that mum and dad are busy. You know what I'm saying?
And it's quite nice at the end of that song where it says, sort of, you know, he has the reprise, doesn't he, where he says,
yes.
If you, I won't do what you tell me.
Yes.
If you, I won't do what you tell me.
Yes.
If you, I won't do it. If you, I won't do what you tell me.
Yeah, and then I ejaculate. So, I hope that's of use. But I mean, with anything in terms of lovemaking, and you know, you and I have talked about the fact that we don't want there to be a preponderance of us chatting about lovemaking, because there's more to relationships than just lovemaking. But it just goes to show the diversity of how different people approach it. You, for example, the painful, sort of quizzical, concentrated, in the dark, silent, with the metronome going off, and me... vigorous, Killing in the Name Of, or changing it up a bit with a bit of Debussy, Claire de Lune.
And what else are you doing in the bedroom in terms of in terms of, that's the audio, but there's also the visual, isn't there? And there's also aromatic. So are you doing anything, what are you doing with the lights? What are you doing with, is there incense? Is there...
I'm a really big fan of the scented candle.
Right.
So I've got a couple of scented candles around the room. The ambiance is moody, I'd describe, because we can dim the light.
Yeah.
So we don't have to, you know, you don't want to have, you, it's not either bright light or pitch darkness like you go. Yeah. I like to dim the light so it's kind of, you know, descending darkness.
Yeah.
Just enough darkness that it removes the imperfections of my body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that it's not too harsh a vision for my wife.
Yeah, and you were telling me that on a couple of occasions you tried it because, of course, you used to be a quite a successful DJ, sort of doing your blue light discos and all those sorts of things for a while there. And what you would do is have a laser show and... the lovemaking would start off in complete darkness.
Yeah.
And then slowly, you know, the lights would start going. And then on the, if you won't do what you tell me, the lights are on full and there's just full lasers going all around the room as you sort of, you know, as you reach your good point there.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget the smoke machine. You know, a lot of people don't think about that in terms of...
because you used to be physically smoking.
Yeah, I'd be physically smoking, but then you chuck a smoke machine in the corner, you really get that pumping out. That can really create an atmosphere, Mike.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing quite for the... and this is why I like the darkness as well, is confusing the senses.
Right, you know, sensory deprivation.
That's right. You know, you can be in sort of one of those, is it those diving sort of things, you know, that... people go into, which is just complete pitch black, so you lose all sense of what, which way is up and which way is down.
A deprivation pod.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah. Well, you and the water is filled with salt, so you literally float on the water. They close a pod. It's like a sunbed,
right?
Except it's in water and it's completely black because when you're going through that sensory deprivation, all these weird things, you start hallucinating effectively.
Right.
Yeah. Is that... let's so say, you're saying you've made love in a deprivation pad? Or
well, pod? I mean, it sort of feels like that already because it is pitch black, but perhaps that's something we could bring into the bedroom. I don't know about the smoke machine. Mm. You used to smoke cigarettes, but after the fire, you stopped that?
Yeah, well, that was more that I'd nodded off and it just, I still had a durry in my hand.
Yeah.
And engulfed.
Engulfed the waterbed.
Yeah, just... bloody pissed everywhere, and it was a bit of a disaster. So I learnt my lesson there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it was a waterbed. It wasn't some sort of fibrous mattress that sort of just woofed engulfed us in a ball of flame. So we were very lucky there. But I think that absolutely addresses Campbell's question from Wanaka.
Yeah, I think so, mate. So, you know, I think you can go with your hard rock, and that's definitely a great idea, but also go with total silence because... you know, when you've got music cranked up, you're robbing yourself of all the natural noises of lovemaking, aren't you?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, perhaps there's a tui call.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or an owl hooting.
Yes.
Or a dove cooing.
That's right. And sometimes, you know, you won't be able to hear when, you know, the madame knocks on the door and goes, time's up!
Yeah. You're done. Actually, I once remember making love... and there was the sound of what I thought was an extraordinary sound of crickets and cicadas, but that was just my sciatica, as it turns out. But, yeah, no, that's great stuff. Great stuff, mate. Now, listen, I think we're coming to the end of this particular podcast, Mike, and I really want to reiterate to people the importance of rating us, of commenting, and of subscribing, because otherwise... why in God's name are we doing this? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're doing it to help people, but we also we want to know that people are actually listening to this.
Yeah, that's right. It's you know, it's a tangible way for us to have, you know, to sort of see our audience at work. I mean, you're able to hear us at work, and let's see you guys at work. What are you doing out there? Give us your thoughts inside these reviews. You know, give us 5 stars, give a review, but in that review you could tell us something that, you know, perhaps we could be doing better.
Yeah, and you and I take your criticism and advice very well, Mike.
Well, that's right.
We're not going to be upset about it.
No.
We just carry on and take that advice on board and try and bring you a better podcast next time.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, from Mike and myself, we...
The reason is because how would you do it? Well, the way you do it is you go on to Instagram there and you can you go on to All Talk with Jason Mike. You follow us there.
Yes.
And perhaps we could give an update on how many followers we've got now, Jason.
Yeah, that'd be great, mate.
I think a couple of weeks ago we were at 60, and this week we're at 71.
So we've added 10 people. That's bloody great.
Well, that's 11. That's more than one a day.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
That's pretty good. So you go on there, give us a like, and if you've got any questions, any comments, anything at all, just DM us there, or if you'd like to send us something perhaps a bit longer, an email form, you can do that by emailing us at alltalkwithjasonmike@gmail.com.
Great stuff. Hey, well, from Mike and myself, thanks so much for the privilege of your attention. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll be back again next week, won't we, Mike?
Sure will.
Great stuff, mate.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.